Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:23 British Summer Time. Today is August 30th. Well, today we continue to see that stock markets are consolidating or at least unwinding short-term overbought conditions. And that is a common feature to just about every geographic area. In the commodity markets, we're seeing something similar occur where the short-term overbought condition that was evident on gold, silver, platinum, and palladium is being unwound in here. In the bond markets, the rally that the majority of the sovereign bonds have had over the last couple of weeks, it persists. U.S. Treasuries and a number of others found support in the region of the 200-day moving average and the upper side of underlying trading ranges in mid-August and continue to rebound. U.S. Treasuries went up to test the 150 area, which is a psychological level, earlier today and closed out the day at 149.15. A clear downward dynamic would really be required to suggest that supply is coming back into dominance. And in the absence of such an downward dynamic, then the upside can continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. The currency markets were relatively quiet in here today. The euro was a tad weaker, down 23 ticks. It continues to hold here in the region of $1.25. The yen was relatively unchanged against the dollar, just up a tiny bit. And the pound was slightly weaker as well. When we look at what's happening in stock markets, then we can see that there has been a high degree of commonality. In the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow Jones, the ASX, and a number of European markets, we've had an impressive rally since the May low. A number found support in the region of their 200-day moving averages back in May and have rallied right back up to test their highs for the year, which for the majority were posted in March. And they had developed short-term overbought conditions, and those short-term overbought conditions now appear to be being unwound. The majority of markets in Asia were down in the region of 1%. The Nikkei was down just less than that. The Hang Seng down more than that. The ASX down just less than 1%. The Indonesian market is getting back to an interesting level because it's already come back to test its progression of higher reaction lows. The Indian market is back in a region of potential support and was a little bit steadier in here today. The mainland Chinese market, the Shanghai A shares, posted a new reaction low in here today. They have become a little bit oversold in the short term, but a clear upward dynamic will be required to check momentum at this stage. They did close off their lows in here today, and there was a bit of a tail, which is a mildly bullish signal. In Europe, the majority of markets were down in excess of 1%. The FTSE was one of the better performers. It was only down about 0.4%. But the technical picture is pretty similar to a significant number of these markets in that they are unwinding short-term overbought conditions. And if the medium-term bullish outlook is to remain intact, then they will need to continue to hold these progressions of higher reaction lows that have been evident since May. And perhaps the most important of those, particularly for the S&P and the NASDAQ, would be those lows that were put in mid-July. So that being the case, there is significant room in which to consolidate without actually threatening that progression of higher reaction lows. So whereas there are a significant quorum of investors that continue to express extreme anxiety about the potential for stock markets and for the global economy, when we look at the chart action, so far what we're presented with is an unwind of a short-term overbought condition, and not a great deal more than that. There hasn't been anything in the way of the large downward dynamics that have been characteristic of a major change in the supply-demand balance that we've seen over the last 3 years. So this isn't really the time to be panicking. Now, of course, there are things to be worried about. We are heading into a pivotal stage in the dance that has been doing the rounds in Europe, and we'll have to see what happens with regard to the big decisions that are going to be made in September, October, November, and December. When one gets down to the realpolitik, it is practically unconscionable that the politicians are not going to row in behind supporting the euro. The great challenge is bringing their electorates with them. But this is still an uncertain environment. The weaker the Chinese economy becomes, the greater the likelihood is that there's going to be a fresh round of stimulus. The weaker the European economy becomes, the greater the likelihood is that the ECB's bond buying program will get beefed up and that the ESM mechanism will be provided with additional liquidity. Lest anyone think that there is a limit to the extraordinary measures to which central banks can go, there are a significant number of additional policy alternatives available to the ECB which have not been employed. But one very simple one, which would employ a fresh round of quantitative easing, would be to grant the ESM a banking license. That has so far been resisted on a number of fronts, but if the threat to the European economy becomes such that it is viewed as a necessity, then it will be granted, and that would ensure that there will be limitless euros printed in an effort to contain the debt issues. So yes, there are certainly problems, but there are also potential solutions. And in this type of environment, it does pay to become solution-oriented rather than problem-focused. We know what the problems are. We know what the problems are in Europe, we know what the problems are in China, and we know what the potential problems are in the USA. And the important factor is that so does everybody else. And when we think about what the potential outcome is going to be, then we can think about what it would be like to sit as a fly on the wall at Jackson Hole, at the ECB, at the People's Bank of China, or the Bank of Japan, or the Bank of England, or the Swiss National Bank, and figure out what exactly they are talking about and what their policy response might be. We have a playbook, and that has been to increase liquidity. That has helped to stoke the stock market rally that we've had over the last 3 months. Nothing has really changed in that playbook. So we can anticipate that they will continue to flood the market with liquidity, if for no other reason than the velocity of money is deteriorating. And if the velocity of money is deteriorating, then a central bank's basic function is to ensure that there is enough of currency circulating the system to promote economic growth. And if the velocity of money is contracting, then necessarily they need to increase the supply of money. So in a capitalist system, that liquidity will flow to the most productive assets. We continue to see that companies leveraged to the growth of the global consumer continue to do well, not least because they have reliable sources of cash flow and they tend to pay out reasonable dividends. And the definition of a reasonable dividend continues to decline, considering that US treasuries, and indeed sovereign bonds just about everywhere, are paying out close to record low yields. In an environment where just about everyone is printing, an asset class where the supply cannot simply be printed into existence has an obvious allure. That is one of the primary reasons behind the bull market in gold, we've had a very impressive advance over the last few weeks. A short-term overbought condition has been evident. We are starting to see it put to unwind. While we've had a sharpish pullback in platinum and in silver, it is notable that gold is unchanged on the day. At $1,655, it's $4 off its low, it's $9 off its peak. So far, gold has been really very steady. It continues to look like nothing more than an unwind of a short-term overbought condition. And we haven't had the kinds of swinging pullbacks that some of these precious metals are capable of. And that, at least, is positive. If we continue to see progressions of higher reaction lows in these precious metals, then that can be construed as having entered the accumulation phase, and the likelihood of gold being able to sustain a move to new all-time highs will have been bolstered even further. Oil at present is in there with risk assets in that it is unwinding a short-term overbought condition. West Texas Intermediate was weaker today by 83 cents, and Brent crude, having pulled back over the last week, was a little bit firmer in here today. I'm sorry, I'm just making sure I'm looking at the right one. Yes, it was a little bit firmer. It was up 16 cents at 112.70. We need to see that Brent crude coming back even further to remove some of the pressure that has been on some of these stock markets. The fact that Hurricane Isaac is dumping rain on the Midwest is a positive. There is some concern that the amount of rain that is falling could damage the soybean crop, and we saw soybeans moving on to another new high in here today, but both corn and wheat were just down a bit on the day. It's going to be a while before we have any clear idea as to the damage that has been done to the crop and what good any rains that fall now will do to it. What we have seen is that volatility has increased, but there is no great deal of evidence yet that a medium-term peak is in. And both oil and those grains and beans represent key inflationary points that are likely to act as a drag on economic growth. The very fact that they are a drag does increase the possibility that there will be an additional liquidity provision in order to stoke growth. Now, I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.